Our next speaker is a man that actually does go all out for the FFA. From countless long meetings to volunteering at every opportunity, he always strives to go all out and pour everything he can into this organization.
We've had the pleasure of knowing Jackson for a long time, and I can say, standing here in front of you, that even if he's watching Friends way too much, adding hot sauce to just about anything, or dancing to boy band songs, he is the embodiment of the National FFA organization.
He is a model best friend and practically a brother to all of us. So it is a great honor in asking you to join us welcoming to the stage our dearest friend, and your National FFA Southern Region Vice President, Jackson Harris.
The Andy Griffith Show, starring Andy Griffith, with Ronnie Howard, also starring Don Nuts.
I bet y'all didn't show up to convention thinking you were going to see Andy Griffith and NSYNC in the same session. I didn't either. Go figure. You know, growing up, my sister and I, she's over there, Annalie, my sister and I spent hours watching our parents' all-time favorite TV show, The Andy Griffith Show. Yeah. Yeah, now this was way back before you could buy the entire series on DVD. So we watched episodes that had been recorded onto VHS tape. I understand that some of you in the arena probably don't remember what those looked like. But literally, we had hundreds of these things. Still have closets full of them back home. Just because at this point, we're too sentimentally attached now to throw them away. You see, that show was such a big part of my life growing up that as a kid, my favorite place in the world was Mayberry, USA. And I'd obviously never been there. But now let me get something straight with you. Let me make sure you understand this. Now, my family doesn't watch just any old Andy Griffith episode. No. In fact, we are what many would consider to be Mayberry snobs. You see, we only watch the real Andy Griffith episodes. The first 159 episodes shot in black and white, to be exact. Now, the series ran for 8 seasons, but seasons like 6 through 8, they're just kind of like that. Well, they're not very good. But now, why are these episodes so different? Though the setting of Mayberry changed very little over the course of 8 seasons, it was the people that changed the whole dynamic. You see, Deputy Barney Fife left town. Gomer Pyle joined the Marines. And then Ernest T. Bass ran off in the woods. We ain't heard from him again. And just like that, America's favorite hometown just wasn't the same. You see, community isn't about the place. It's about the people. And today, many of America's hometowns are experiencing the same sort of exodus. But instead of losing iconic cast members, our hometowns are losing their most valuable assets. Young, educated leaders. I'm talking now about the people in this arena. You know, in agriculture, we talk a lot about urban sprawl. And we know how growing cities negatively impact the amount of land available to produce food. But urban sprawl also takes a toll on the societies and communities that are left behind as newer, flashier places are built up. As new suburban areas are developed, young people like us from the rural small towns or the heart of the inner city are drawn away from their original communities in search of more job opportunities, safer neighborhoods, better schools for families. The phenomenon is referred to as brain drain, and it is shrinking the size of our small towns and urban neighborhoods. People around the country are giving up on home. Now, this creates a major problem. Because as talented, educated young people move away from their original communities, the communities they leave are left in need. You see, our hometowns, every one of us, needs the innovation and creativity of our generation if they are to survive. And these communities need everyone from doctors to restaurant owners. I mean, they need bankers and merchants and farmers, entrepreneurs, police officers, firemen, architects, engineers, mechanics. They need us, whatever we decide to be in our career. Most importantly, our communities need us to not give up on them. Census data shows that the population of rural America is shrinking rapidly. Nearly 60% of America's rural counties shrank in population last year. That's up from 50% in just 2009. In 2012, United States Secretary of Agriculture Tom Vilsack said that rural America, with its shrinking population, is becoming less and less relevant to the politics of this country. And we better recognize that, and we better begin to reverse it. But rural America can't be relevant unless young people like us choose to stay in or move to rural areas to grow businesses and start jobs. But today, I think members of our organization face a tough choice as they consider their future and where they will start a career. Now, we know our communities need us. We know that. And we may even sense the urgency that Secretary Vilsack alluded to in his speech. But our hometowns, whether in rural Alabama or downtown Detroit, simply may not offer the opportunities we need to make a living or start a family. So what are we to do? Now, in FFA, we love our creed and our mission statement. Let me hear it. Of course we do. We love those words. We read them, we recite them, we memorize them, and we try to live by them. But I believe current conditions are forcing young adults like us to choose between career success, what we focus on in our mission statement, and making an impact in our home and community that we state in our creed. We should not have to choose between the two. We should not have to leave the communities that we love in order to find career success. And we should not have to live in want or poverty if we stay and serve the places that need us. That is unacceptable. Thank you. I think there's a third option. Now, it's not easy, folks, but it is fun. Our communities may not offer the opportunities we need as they exist right now. Heck, that's where we come in. We just have to be willing to look at things a little bit differently. You know, in high school, I was on my FFA chapter's tractor restoration team. Any antique tractor fans in the house? Oh, gosh, I'm just kidding. I knew you were there. It's FFA. We love antique tractors. Every year, we'd pull an old antique tractor out of the woods or a barn and totally restore it. Completely front to back to original showroom quality as it was always designed to look. I remember my freshman year on the team, we pulled the old hunk of rust into the shop and my advisor turned to the team and said, "Folks, what do you see when you look at this tractor?" And one of my teammates stood there and looked at it for a second and said, "A mess." He was right. Another guy said, "Crushed radiator." Also, unfortunately, incorrect. And he said, locked up engine. That guy was right, too. I didn't know what I was doing, so I turned to my advisor and said, "Well, what do you see when you look at it?" He said, "I see a bright, shiny, orange 1946 Case tractor." And after a few months of hard work and long hours in the shop, that is exactly what we had in front of us. Now, we could have given up on that old tractor. Stop. Oh, God. Stop. No, but it's pretty cool. Now, we could have given up on that old tractor. We could have left it in the woods where we found it because it was way past its prime. Its heyday was long gone. We could have just bought a new tractor, but we didn't. We put in the work. We cranked up the creativity, and we brought that old machine back to life. We can see our communities the same way. We can see our communities for their possibilities rather than their imperfections. If we ever want to make progress to create the sort of community that we as a generation want to live in, we have to be willing to see things, our communities, not as they are, but as they can be. People around the world are starting to do just that. For instance, in Chicago, the founders of the organization Farmed Here reimagined the purpose of an abandoned warehouse and have since turned it into the nation's first indoor vertical farm. A 90,000 square foot aquaponic facility, they are producing needed fresh food in an urban environment while also producing 200 local jobs. Now think of your own hometown, where there might be an empty grocery store or an abandoned Walmart or a deserted factory. If we started to retrofit, restructure these buildings, we could go a long way towards eliminating food deserts and shrinking the unemployment rate in this country. Now, earlier this year, I took a trip to California. Good times. Now, while I was there, I heard the story of one of my all-time favorite snack foods, baby carrots. Anybody else like baby carrots? Yeah, here's the thing, though. Since we call them baby carrots, I always assume they must have been taken away from their parent vegetables at a young age, which kind of made me sad. Turns out they're not infant vegetables at all. Go figure. Yeah, as the story goes, one carrot grower named Mike Urosik grew tired of having to throw away so much of his crop each year. He became so frustrated with the waste that he perfected a method of rounding down the edges of oddly shaped vegetables, and the finished product was so cute, he called them baby carrots. Sold them to stores. Within one day on the shelf, the grocery store was calling and asking for more, and thus the baby carrot was born. Today, 70% of the 1.9 billion pounds of carrots that are grown in California each year are baby carrots. 70%! All because one man took a fresh look at his produce that was thought to be worthless and ended up creating a whole new market and turned his community of Bakersfield, California into the baby carrot capital of the world! Which is a pretty cool title. Now, our generation is starting to find that same generous, creative spirit. And I am optimistic that it will help us inherit a positive future and keep our communities alive. It's actually been said that our generation will be the most entrepreneurial generation since the 1880s. And I don't doubt that, because I know that just within our supervised agricultural experiences, we raise $4 billion annually. That's a lot of money. But now, we can't earn the title of most entrepreneurial generation by simply sitting back and filling job openings as they present themselves. We must create them where they don't already exist. Folks, opportunity in whatever place has to be made. It has to be worked for. We can create a future of career success for ourselves wherever we desire, from the rural countryside to the inner city. We cannot give up on home or our dreams. We've got to stop trying to make our dreams fit the world and start trying to make the world fit our dreams. Now, I heard a wonderful quote the other day from a man named Howard Thurman. It goes like this: don't ask yourself what the world needs. Ask yourself, what makes you come alive? And then go do that. Because what the world needs is people who have come alive. A business innovation keeps a town or a city alive. But even with the jobs, there's still something missing. Something maybe even more important. A sense of community. Now, just like in Mayberry, community isn't about the place. It's about the people. It's about us. Now, Mayberry was the sort of town that we all wish we could have grown up in. Not much traffic, plenty of social events, beautiful buildings, a movie theater, you name it. Mayberry had it. But it wasn't the architecture or the infrastructure or even the geographic location that made that place so lovable. It was the people. People in Mayberry knew each other by name, and not only that, they stopped to talk to one another on the sidewalk. And if it was a weekend afternoon, you could find the members of that community out playing a game of softball or having a picnic. These people hosted big community parades for major holidays. I mean, they were fun people. These people breathe life into that place. That's how it works. Now, some of you may think that a community so healthy and engaging, probably just a fantasy, right? I mean, Hollywood dream of days gone by. But the fact of the matter is, communities similar to Mayberry used to be scattered all across this nation. And whether it was a rural small town or an urban neighborhood, the essence of a community where people knew and interacted with their neighbors used to be easier to find. Take a look at this. Now, where are the parades now? Where are the community bowling leagues? You know, where are the town bands? Where are the people that can just sit and talk these days? I don't know about you, but I want that sort of place to be real again. I want to know my neighbor. I want to live in a place where I know the teachers at the school and the local law enforcement and the butcher at the grocery store. And I think we all might yearn for that sort of place deep down. A place we feel connected to. A community that actually feels like home. But if we want that sort of community, we have to create it ourselves. We cannot give up on home. Now, I think that one of the most important ways that we exert an influence in our home and community as FFA members and chapters is by breathing life and energy into these hometowns. And we're doing these sort of things all across the country. This year, I traveled and met members from Maine to Oregon, who worked hard all year to build beautiful parade floats for their community in their ag shop. And chapters all across the country worked tirelessly all year to help feed their neighbor by managing a community garden just like Coopersville FFA in Michigan. Talented musicians within our organization, like those that make up FFA string bands back home in Alabama, provide quality entertainment for community activities. And when I went to Tuscumbia FFA in Missouri, I heard about the ways in which they hosted a tractor pull every year that drew people from all the surrounding counties and provided a boost to the local economy. Folks, we rebuild houses. We collect canned food for the food drives. We plan barbecues. We host farmers markets. We visit the elderly. We clothe the needy. We support local businesses. FFA members breathe life into their communities, and we must keep it up. We must continue living to serve and never give up on home. So what will you do? How will you lead your chapter in service to your hometown? How will you begin to use your individual strengths and talents to serve others and create opportunity? If we do nothing, we will continue to face brain drain and city decay, and our small towns and urban neighborhoods will continue to be left for the comfort of suburbia. Our communities rely on us as future leaders to foster growth, provide quality education, and breathe energy into our hometowns. If we are proactive, if we make the choice to go all out every day in service to our hometowns, we can turn the tide of development, use our innovation to create opportunity, and breathe vital life into dying communities, those that mean so much to us, our neighbors, and the health of this country. So let's chase our dreams, folks. Let's build a future of career success for ourselves and provide opportunities in the places that need it the most. We cannot give up on home. We must reimagine it. Let's reinvent the communities we love. Now, sure, it'll be hard. It'll be difficult, it'll be challenging, but in many cases, the places that are most open and available to innovation are the places that need it the most, places like those that we all come from. So FFA members, let's begin right now to hold true to the best traditions of our national life and exert an influence in our home and community as FFA members, chapters, that will stand solid for our part in that inspiring task.